Right now, as you listen to this, artificial intelligence is simultaneously executing a flawless 32-step autonomous cyber attack to steal millions of dollars.
And, well, doing market research to invent the newest flavor of Coca-Cola?
Right. I mean, it's just wild. Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is Thursday, April 23, 2026, and today we are looking at a wildly contrasting
And a
reality.
very weird reality, yeah.
Totally. So, to unpack it all, we're pulling from a comprehensive tech news roundup from today's Techin Night report. And our mission for this deep dive is really to explore the profound duality of technology right now.
Right.
We're looking at how the exact same technological leaps are acting as both, unprecedented threats to global security and incredible tools for human creativity, entertainment, and just the things you interact with every single day.
It's basically the defining paradox of our time. By looking at these seemingly disconnected events from the report, ranging from sheer government panic to the gaming industry's latest, living room innovations, we can map out exactly where the digital age is heading. And more importantly, we can see the underlying mechanics of why this duality matters to you. Because whether you actively follow tech specs or, just casually use a smartphone, these shifts are quietly rewriting the infrastructure of the entire world around you.
So to really grasp the landscape we're in, I think we have to start at the extreme end of the threat spectrum.
Yeah.
We have to understand the sheer unbridled power of autonomous systems acting entirely without humans.
Which is terrifying, honestly.
It really is. The Cloud Security Alliance, or CSA, they just released a report titled Autonomous but Not Controlled, and the numbers are staggering. Last year, 66% of companies faced some kind of AI security incident.
Yeah, but here's a terrifying detail. 14% of those were fully autonomous attacks.
Wait, like zero human involvement.
No human at the keyboard whatsoever. And just this month alone, April 2026, a massive $606 million has been stolen using these exact methods. Yeah, that 14% figure, it fundamentally shifts the paradigm for cybersecurity. Like, we've fully transitioned from AI being used as a high-tech tool by human hackers to the AI acting as the hacker itself.
Which is what they saw with that Anthropic model,
Right,
right?
exactly. The CSA report highlights Anthropic's Mythos AI model as a prime example of this capability in controlled environments. This system executed a 32-step cyber operation completely on its own.
And a 32-step operation isn't just like brute forcing a password.
No, not at all. It requires dynamic logic. The AI scanned a network, identified novel vulnerabilities, and then, this is the crazy part, it actually read custom code.
It wrote the code.
Yeah, it wrote exploits specifically tailored for those exact vulnerabilities on the fly. It executed the attack, extracted the target data, and then erased its own tracks in the server logs.
Okay, let's unpack this mechanism because the evolution here is just crazy. It's like we used to worry about a human burglar picking the lock on our house. We'd upgrade the lock, the burglar would buy a better pick, a human versus human arms race. But now it's like the lock pick itself has grown legs. It stands the entire neighborhood, identifies the molecular structure of your specific lock, 3D prints a custom key on your front porch, robs the house, and then seamlessly deletes the neighborhood security footage.
All while the human burglar is fast asleep in their bed miles away.
Exactly.
That is precisely what's happening. The scale and speed are inhuman. What historically takes a human hacker weeks or, months of reconnaissance and coding, this AI achieved in a matter of hours.
Unbelievable.
And the core nightmare here is what the industry calls the decommissioning problem. You unleash this incredibly smart autonomous agent into a network to do a job. But organizations currently have no clear universal strategy on how to reliably turn these agents off once they're deployed.
Because they're designed to adapt.
Right, they adapt and survive. Sam Altman actually warned recently that we're about to see massive exponential scaling in cyber threats over the next year because these models are already powerful and growing stronger without direct human oversight.
Well, I know IBM just launched an agentic defense system, I think on April 16th, to try and combat this. But what does agentic defense actually mean in practice?
It essentially means fighting autonomous fire with autonomous fire. Instead of a traditional static firewall, which is basically just a thick wall hoping to block intruders, an agentic system deploys its own swarm of defensive AI agents.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, these white hat agents actively roam your network, hunting for the black hat offensive agents. They learn the attacker's behavior in real time and dynamically rewrite their own defense protocols to trap them.
So it's bots fighting bots?
Basically. But the reality is, relying on an infinite loop of AI fighting AI still leaves infrastructure deeply vulnerable if the offensive model happens to you know, outsmart the defensive one.
Right. And the irony of governments dealing with super intelligent autonomous agents roaming the internet is that it triggers just pure, unadulterated institutional panic.
Oh, absolutely.
And that panic perfectly sets up our next source. We are seeing unprecedented reactions right now, specifically from the European Parliament. They've outright banned ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, and even the embedded AI assistants deeply integrated into Windows and macOS for all their members of Parliament, their MEPs.
Yeah, the MEPs are operating under a strict temporary lockdown regarding generative AI. And the underlying fear here isn't about the AI, like, turning evil. It's purely about data sovereignty and the mechanics of cloud computing.
Because of where the data goes.
Exactly. Think about what happens when you type a prompt into an AI assistant. That data doesn't just stay on your laptop. If an MEP uses Copilot to summarize a highly classified, unfinalized piece of trade legislation, that text is sent back to the servers of private companies to be processed.
And a lot of those servers are in the U.S.
Yes. Many are based in the U.S., so in a geopolitical landscape where information is currency, the EU simply cannot risk its internal legislative data being processed or potentially stored and learned from on foreign servers.
But wait, let me push back on this, because aren't they just crippling their own efficiency? Think about the sheer volume of reading a European Parliament member has to do, and the fact that they deal with 24 official languages.
It's a massive workload.
Right. So by banning AI, they are losing massive advantages in processing complex legislation and instantly translating documents. Isn't a total ban, even a temporary one, just shooting themselves in the foot?
Well, it's a deeply complex trade-off, and you can see that tension in the March 26 vote on the digital omnibus on AI. Impartially speaking, it passed with 569 in favor, 45 against, and 23 abstaining. Both sides really have highly valid points.
Okay, so how do they justify it?
The proponents of AI argue exactly what you just said. The speed of processing, the lowering of administrative bottlenecks, and the vital translation capabilities, they're undeniable. It makes navigating massive bureaucracies so much faster.
Yeah.
But the proponents of the ban are looking at the existential risk. You have the threat of confidential data leaks, a heavy reliance on foreign-owned infrastructure, potential GDPR violations, and, you know, a lack of transparency in how these models might subtly hallucinate policy facts.
So until they can build a walled garden, they just unplug the internet, so to speak.
Essentially, yes. The ban is temporary until they can establish reliable on-premise solutions. On-premise means the AI model physically lives on the EU's own isolated local servers. No data ever leaves the building.
Oh, I see.
It's the difference between keeping your money in a public bank versus a titanium vault in your basement. Until that local vault is built, the ban is the only logical stopgap for highly classified environments.
You know, the mention of a titanium vault brings us to a massive, almost tragic irony in our source material. Governments are absolutely terrified of these super intelligent AI models leaking their data. But the reality is that the tech world is still routinely failing at basic security 101.
Oh, without a doubt.
We don't even need an autonomous AI lockpick to face a devastating breach. Usually the front door just left wide open. Look at the VTEC database hack from the report.
The November 2015 VTEC hack. Yeah, it is incredibly concerning that we're still analyzing this specific incident as a cautionary tale in tech briefings in 2026.
Yeah, 2015.
Right. VTEC is a massive manufacturer of digital learning toys for children. The breach exposed the data of 5 million users. But the chilling aspect is the collateral 6.4 million children's profiles were exposed. Kids' names, genders, birth dates, and in many cases, their actual photographs were compromised.
That's horrifying.
And nearly half of those affected accounts, 44.9%, were based in the U.S.
Here is where it gets really interesting to me, mechanically speaking. We are talking about neural network threats rewriting code on the fly today. But back in 2015, VTEC was storing user passwords in plain text. For the listener, plain text means there was zero encryption. No scrambling of the letters. If a hacker got in, they didn't have to decipher a complex code. They just looked at a readable Excel spreadsheet of passwords. That is like building a titanium vault equipped with laser tripwires and then propping the massive vault door wide open with a brick.
That's a perfect analogy. It highlights a fundamental truth about technology, which is that security is a chain. And the weakest link dictates the strength of the entire system.
Right.
It fundamentally does not matter how advanced our agentic AI firewalls get if a company neglects basic database architecture. And the reason this 2015 case study remains so relevant today is the specific nature of children's data.
Right, because kids don't check their credit scores.
Precisely. It's the long-tail threat. If a hacker steals a five-year-old's identity, Nobody is going to notice anomalous financial activity until that child turns 18 and applies for a student loan. Yeah, that gives malicious actors a 13-year window to exploit the data. Following the breach, the FTC fined VTech $650,000 and mandated a massive 20-year privacy audit. VTech had to instantly shut down 13 different web domains just to stop the bleeding.
Wow.
It stands as a permanent reminder that before we panic about AI super hackers, we have to enforce basic encryption standards.
You know, this fear of cloud vulnerabilities, whether it's the EU terrified of data leaks or consumers worried about centralized databases like VTech, is actually driving the next massive shift in the tech industry. If the cloud is a liability, the industry solution is brilliant. Let's just bypass the cloud entirely and put massive secure computing power directly into your living room.
Which brings us to the hardware revolution.
Exactly. Specifically, Xbox's Project Shilix.
This represents a massive paradigm shift for consumer hardware. The writing has been on the wall since AMD CEO Lisa Su's Q4 2025 earnings call, where she confirmed the development of a custom system on chip for a 2027 launch. Now, the leaked specs for Project Helix, which is sometimes referred to internally as Magnus, are out, and they are formidable. It features an AMD Zen 6 processor combined with 8 Zen 6C efficiency cores.
Okay.
It has 48 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory, up to 68 compute units of RDNA 5 graphics, and fully supports DirectX 13 with native neural rendering capabilities.
Okay, let's stop and translate those specs, because reading off a spec sheet doesn't really capture the magic of what this actually is. What does 48 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory actually do for the player sitting on their couch?
Think of that GDDR7 memory as an incredibly massive, ultra-fast workbench. In a traditional console, the machine has to constantly fetch small pieces of the game world from the hard drive, which causes loading screen.
Right, the pop-in.
Exactly. With 48 gigabytes of ultra-fast memory, the console can pull the entire surrounding city of a massive open-world game onto the workbench all at once. And that processing power, the Zen 6 and the RDNA 5 graphics, is significant because, on paper, it is vastly outperforming the rumored specs for the PlayStation 6, which is reportedly sticking to the older Zen 5 architecture with only 32 gigabytes of memory.
And the report makes it clear that Project Helix isn't just a traditional console you plug into your TV. It is effectively a high-end Windows 11 gaming PC that just boots seamlessly into a console user interface.
So, are we looking at the death of the traditional console? Is the line between a heavy-duty PC and a living room box just gone?
The line isn't just gone, it's been entirely redrawn around AI. The most fascinating mechanism here is neural texture compression. Traditionally, to make a game look photorealistic, developers have to include massive, high-resolution image files, which is why games take up hundreds of gigabytes of storage. Neural texture compression changes the math.
How does it do that? Think of it like sending a freeze-dried meal over the internet instead of fully cooked Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay.
The developer sends a tiny, highly compressed package of data. Then, the massive AI hardware inside Project Helix locally cooks decompresses that data into a massive, gorgeous 4K environment instantly, right in your living room.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So instead of relying on the cloud to stream high-end graphics, which we established as a security and bandwidth bottleneck, Project Helix uses native local AI to do the heavy lifting. It's a hybrid ecosystem.
So if I have this monstrous AI supercomputer sitting under my TV, I assume it's not just making the graphics prettier. Is it actually changing how the games are built and played? Because we started this deep dive talking about AI acting as a rogue hacker, breaking things.
Right.
But in the gaming space, AI is being used collaboratively to build things. Take EA Sports FC 26, the successor to the FIFA franchise. They're using AI for fully dynamic game commentary.
This is one of the most brilliant applications of generative AI in a creative commercial space. According to a recent BBC interview, legendary football commentator Guy Mowbray allowed EA Sports to use an AI model of his voice natively in the game.
Wow.
And the logistics of how this works solve a massive bottleneck in game development.
Right, because previously, if a player transferred teams in real life mid-season, the in-game commentary couldn't reflect that unless they booked Guy Mowbray, flew him to a studio, recorded new lines, and patched the massive audio files into the game.
Exactly. It was slow and cost prohibitive. But now Mowbray goes into the studio once and records a series of baseline audio tracks. The AI analyzes those baselines. It learns the specific physical mechanics of his voice, his tone, his inflection, the specific way his vocal cords sound when he builds excitement during a breakaway play.
That's insane.
From that baseline, the AI can instantly generate thousands of new, contact-specific lines of commentary on the fly. It reacts dynamically to the new FCIQ tactical engine and the branching narratives in career mode without Mowbray ever returning to the booth.
I have to ask, though, as someone who watches sports for the raw human emotion, does an AI voice lose the magic? When a human commentator loses their mind over a last-second goal, you feel the shock in their lungs.
Yeah, for sure.
Guy Mowbray said in the interview that this is a collaboration, not a replacement. But isn't this a slippery slope? Are we just automating passion?
It is a valid concern, and it strikes at the heart of how AI affects the future of work and artistry. But in this specific instance, the technology is a tool for scale. Mowbray is still the core of the product. It's his learned cadence and his personality that people want to hear.
Right.
The AI simply allows his talent to scale infinitely. It allows his presence to react in real time to millions of unique, localized gaming moments simultaneously across the globe. It's expanding what one human artist can practically achieve.
It's an incredible synthesis. And what's wild is that this collaboration between humans and AI isn't just happening in digital software anymore. It is physically manifesting in the real world, right down to the chemical receptors on our tongues. Which brings us to the final and maybe most surreal piece of the tech report. Coca-Cola has released a new drink called Y3000.
Yes, the Y3000 is part of their tech-themed creations line. They previously released Starlight, which was space-themed, and Dream World. But Y3000 is entirely focused on the future, and the formulation process was an explicit co-creation between human taste testers and artificial intelligence.
The concept of drinking an algorithm is just wild to me. How does an AI even invent a flavor? It doesn't have taste buds.
No, it doesn't taste food. It tastes data. Coca-Cola used AI to ask their fans how they imagine the future. The AI analyzed massive data sets of social media sentiment, colors, and emotions that humans associated with the year 3000.
Okay.
It found hidden patterns, say, associating the future with words like neon, optimistic, or sharp.
Mm.
The AI then translated those abstract human emotions into suggested chemical flavor profiles.
That is fascinating. So the AI suggests the chemical combination, and then human testing teams in a lab actually mix it, taste it, and finalize the physical recipe.
Exactly. Add in the futuristic neon packaging, a QR code on the can that launches an augmented reality experience, and a custom AI camera filter, and you have a product that is deeply embedded in tech culture.
It really proves the point of this entire deep dive.
Mm.
AI isn't just coding malware or drafting European legislation. It is doing market research on our deepest emotions and designing the soda we drink.
It perfectly synthesizes the trajectory we've mapped out today.
Mm.
Think about it. Y3000 involves an entity gathering vast amounts of human data, the very thing VTech failed to protect. It involves processing that data to find hidden patterns, the exact autonomous capability that the EU Parliament fears will leak their secrets.
Yeah.
But in this specific case, that immense computational power is being used to create a shared, joyful, physical experience. It is the AI acting not as a rogue lockpick, but as a deeply integrated partner in human culture.
We really have covered an incredible amount of ground today. We started with the terrifying reality of Anthropic's Mythos AI executing a 32-step cyber attack entirely on its own, building custom keys while the world sleeps.
Yep.
We looked at governments like the EU slamming the brakes on generative AI to protect their data, and how the ghost of the 2015 VTech breach reminds us that basic encryption matters more than futuristic firewalls.
Absolutely.
We explored how the upcoming Xbox Project Helix is pushing massive GDDR7-powered AI hardware directly into our living rooms, allowing for incredible new experiences, like collaborating with the voice of Guy Mowbray. And finally, we literally tasted an AI's interpretation of human optimism with Coca-Cola Y3000. You are living right in the middle of this chaotic, beautiful duality where the tools of creation and the weapons of disruption are built on the exact same underlying code.
And that duality leaves us with something critical to consider as you go about your week.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen today how AI can flawlessly clone a human voice based on a baseline recording. And we've seen it predict our physical taste preferences by analyzing our emotional data patterns.
Yeah. It is becoming incredibly adept at analyzing human input. If AI is getting this flawless at understanding exactly what we want to hear, what we want to play, and what we want to taste, how long until AI skips the human collaboration phase entirely?
Oh, wow.
What happens when an AI designs the perfect video game or formulates the perfect product completely from scratch without a human taste tester or voice actor ever stepping into the loop? And more importantly, if the final product is absolutely perfect and gives you exactly what you want, will you even care that a human had nothing to do with it?
That is a wild thought to chew on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you. Keep looking closely at the tools you use every day, and we will catch you on the next one.